Thank you guys for leading us in worship. Thank you, Brian, for encouraging us in the hope of the Lord and just to go forward in faith. Aren't you encouraged by what Brian shared with us today? He really encouraged us just to, you know, to just grow in our faith and to, you know, walk the life that God has us to walk and what, where he wants us to go and do. And I surely was encouraged. So good morning. Today we finish up our study of Romans chapter 12. Verses 3 through 8, a passage I've entitled Our Usefulness in Serving God. So go ahead and open your Bibles to those verses in the 12th chapter of Romans. Going to give you a minute to do that. Find yourself, however that is for you. The 12th chapter of Romans, go ahead and grab your outline to follow along. Have a few things to illustrate in all this today, but it's good to have our outline. Helps us kind of just move along with the Word of God and help us understanding what God is saying, what He means, how it applies to our life. So as you find your place, let me kind of get my stuff in order here. We're in chapter 12 of Romans, be looking at verses 3 through 8 for the final time today. Now, when we think about this, right, being useful to God, we want to be useful. Wouldn't you want to be useful? I mean, that's a normal thing, right? As we just think about that, let's just let our mind dwell on this for a minute. You want to be useful? Right, do you want to be useful in the things that you do? You want to be useful if you, you know, if you do something, if you, you know, serve in the community or you help with anything going on at school or whatever that might be. That's a desire we have, right? To be useful, right? Right? Yeah, that's a normal thing that we just kind of have. We want to be useful. I want to be useful to God in serving Him. You do, I do, just like anything else. If you're serving God, like in the Awana Club, you want to be useful. How about as an usher or nursery or greeter or sound or the social ministry setting up over there, right? They got a bunch of people over there helping set it up. They want to be useful, right? Everybody over there helping set up don't want to just let the two that are in charge of it do it and the rest of them sit over here in the corner, right? Right? They want to be useful in serving the Lord, right? In whatever capacity that is, that's a thing that we have, a thing that we want to do. If you're part of it, you want to be useful, helpful, make a difference, serve well. Each of us are a part of God's household. We've talked about this a lot, part of God's family. Each of us desires to be useful to God in it. So as we dig into this final time of verses 3 through 8, let's begin by reading verse 1 and go all the way through 8, really to set in our mind this idea of usefulness to God and serving Him. Okay, so we're going to read chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, kind of set this in our heart, this subject of being useful in our minds from the Word of God, and then we'll dig into there. Now the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you that not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, he or are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one to another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the proportion of faith, if service in his serving, and if he teaches in his teaching, or if he exhorts in his exhortation, or if he gives with liberality, or if he leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That didn't come out right. But it's pretty clear in the Word of God, right? As you just listen to those 8 verses, read those 8 verses, it's pretty clear in the Word of God, right? It's talking about being useful to God, isn't he? It's pretty clear. You know, the Word of God, here he is, after all that he's taught us and all that we went through, he just goes right into, okay, let this be useful to God in the life that we have in Christ by the grace of God. Let's be useful. Right? So he kind of hits us right between the eyes about being useful. And we looked at this a lot. We've noted many times that our usefulness to God starts in verse 1 and 2, doesn't it? Do you guys agree? All right? If you're not doing 1 and 2, you're not really useful, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 just really don't flow into that, right? That's what he's telling us. If we're going to be useful to God, we have to worship God. That's what we looked in verse 1 and 2. We've noted that many times. Our reasonable response in worship of God is to present our lives, our bodies, our minds, our wills to God as a living and holy sacrifice. That's what he said. We saw that this act of worship is inherently in all believers. That's what we saw as we went through the Word of God. It's in each and every believer, those born again, have the new life in Christ. It's inherently in you. You have a new life that wants to worship God. It was given to you in your salvation. It's inherently in you. It's there. It's new life. It desires to honor God. It wants to surrender its life to the Lord in mind, will, and body for God to use for his glory. It is for those who all have received the grace of salvation from God. Those who have been given from God life is what we looked at. Christ's life, eternal life. It's in you, it's in them to give to God their lives, to be shaped, directed, guided, and instructed on how to live, how to think, and what to live for. Your flesh fights it every day. You're to deny your flesh and you're to win the battle by surrendering, giving yourself to the Lord, saying, Lord, here I am, surrendering my life for you to shape, you to direct, you to guide and instruct how I live, how I think, and what I live for. We all agree our usefulness starts there. That's what we've been studying, right? That's where our usefulness starts. With a daily continuing offering to God, worship our lives. That's how it starts. If that's not going on, let me ask you, are we really useful? Are we really useful to God? If that's not really going on in our lives. And we were confronted with that as we dug into all of this. Then we began to look at verses 3 through 8. And we made these observations as we went through it. Our usefulness in serving God depends on three things. We see this in verses 3 through 8 from the Word of God speaking to our lives. First, it depends on the proper attitude. Anybody remember the proper attitude? Humility, right? It's not pride, right? That would be, we can't be prideful in this, right? The proper attitude, the proper view, the proper mindset that each for us to, that for us to be useful to God in serving God, we're going to have to walk in humility, right? Philippians 2:5 states that we are to have this attitude, this view, this mindset that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that attitude is humility. We're to have the mind of humility. So the proper attitude is humility, and we saw all that. But how are we going to have this proper attitude of humility? And we looked at verse 3. Verse 3 alone gave us 3 points here. First one, if we're going to have this proper attitude of humility, we have to recognize grace. Each of us in our own life have to recognize grace. Give recognition to grace. It's by grace we have been put into service, is it not? Did you earn it? Were you the special people on the planet? God came down to give his life, Christ came down to give his life on the cross because the special people needed to, God wanted to pull them in and have the special people serve God. No, this is a grace. This is the unmerited favor of God by God's own gracious choice. We can serve by the grace of God. We've been gifted by the grace of God to serve God's kingdom work of building his church. And by grace, we are what we are, right? We have to recognize grace to have the heart or the attitude of humility. It's always been true. Everything that you do, everything that I do, we get very prideful as soon as we get right off grace, don't we? Come on, church, right? Right? My own talent, my own, you know, all of that kind of stuff, right? So we have to recognize that. Second, we have to think rightly about ourselves. To have the attitude of humility, we have to think rightly about ourselves. And very simply, because this is a lot here, we're going to have to think biblically about ourselves. And we don't think biblically all the time. We have to have our mindset and our understanding of who we are in Christ and our role in honoring him is to be shaped by the Word of God. Serving God is a privilege, is it not? You got to think rightly about yourself. Biblically about yourself, you've been privileged, you've been honored by God, be saved, sanctified, rescued, delivered, brought into the family of God, brought into the body of Christ, given gifts to serve. This isn't about you, it's about him. And so biblically, we have to think right about each other. And third thing that we saw, so we have the mind of humility or the attitude of humility. We're to recognize that God has sovereignly bestowed upon you ability to serve him. I want you to think about that for a minute. Sovereignly bestowed. The God of all creation. God himself, the one that made all this, made all of us, the creator God, right? And all this going on and has all of this plan and purpose and has wrote the beginning from the end. I mean, God, sovereign God in all of this, he has bestowed upon you some ability to participate in the building of what he's doing. We live in the church age. God is building his church. Salvation, sanctification. That's how he builds his church. We've been over this many, many times. That's what he's doing. Saving people, putting them into the body of Christ, sanctifying us, making us more Christ-like. That's what God is doing in the world right now. He's given you, bestowed upon you by his sovereign hand, by his own mind, what he chose to do and an ability to be a part of that. What do you do with it? Well, you got to have the mind of an attitude of humility. Right? That God gave you something that has an eternal purpose, an eternal value that's participating in what God is doing in the world right now. You got to walk in humility, right? You have to have the proper attitude of humility. You have to recognize, wow, right? Or you're going to get it all on pride. Ephesians 4:7 says, to each one of us grace was given according to the mercy measure of Christ's gift. God sovereignly chose you, chose your gift, your ability to serve God. It brings the mind of humility. That's just all in review. And then the second observation we made to be useful in serving God, that God depends upon us acknowledging or having the proper relationship in the body of Christ, right? We looked at that last week. Anybody remember what the proper relationship to have with the one body? Anybody remember? It's in your notes. You can look at it, right? But we did, right? Oneness, unity, right? We all gathered hands, right? You should try to, you know, I think you should be encouraged that you should remember from last Sunday to this Sunday what the message was and what God was saying, right? You are one body. That's the proper relationship. We're not individual bodies. We're not individual things. We all belong to the body of Christ, right? That's the relationship God has set on this planet for his people. We are one body. We're connected that way, right? All those intense things that we looked at last week. Look at verse 4 and 5. Let me just read them to you to set this in your heart and mind, that this is to be useful to God. We have to have the proper relationship and understanding of our unity and oneness. Look what it says. For just as we have many members, just like a physical body, many members, arm, leg, elbow, feet, all that. But it's one body, and all the members don't have the same function. I'm glad all my body parts don't work like my feet or look like my feet. But so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one another. That's the right relationship. That's the idea that we need to have. There's one body that we belong to. Many members, but one body. We're to understand that relationship. Remember the two words we looked at? Our dependency and loyalty is to be to the body of Christ that we belong to. It's essential in our life. Ephesians 4:16, remember that verse? From Jesus Christ, the whole body, that's all of us, we are one body, we are being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. That's dependency and loyalty. If your relationship with the church family, with the church body, isn't about dependency and loyalty, depending upon each other, being loyal to each other, then you're not seeing the proper relationship that God has designed in this world today until the church age is over. That's what he's talking about. That's what we are emphasizing. Just as a physical body is built up by the exercising and the working of its parts, we also, that's the proper relationship. Now, let me give you just a little funny thing there. Yesterday, we were at the run for we were team Clementine. Darling Clementine. Okay, sorry. All right, we're Darling Clementine, right? They wanted me to wear the shirt today, but I didn't wear the shirt today. I could be wearing all different kind of shirts, all the things going on in church. But anyway, we're over there, right? It's a 5K run, right? Here we are. My body was exercising and the parts were working so I could run the 5K. Today, my body parts hurt. Sometimes that's what it looks like to participate in the body of Christ. What you might need to exercise of what you have and the gifts that you have and what God's called you to be a part of the body of Christ, it may hurt to participate in the things that God has going for you. But it's the proper relationship that we see. What if my leg said yesterday, I'm not running? Nope. I'm staying here. I'm not going. Well, that wouldn't have looked pretty, would it? We're in this thing together, and that's what God is wanting us to understand. And if you're going to be useful to God and serving him, you have to have the proper relationship. You have to understand this. You have to recognize it. We are members of one another, it says. That's very strong language in the Greek. We are connected so strongly and thoroughly by the creative power of God that we are like body parts to the body of Christ, and we are of each other, sharing the same DNA. Remember that last week, so to speak, with the life of Christ. Marvelous truth. Impact our lives tremendously. They confront our heart and mind, what we think the world is about, each and every day. That's what the Word of God does. That's what the Word of God is here to do. That's what the Word of God does. God uses it, the Word of God, to bring us to an understanding and to a belief and to a trust in what the Word of God and what God says is going on, not what we make up in our own mind. That's why we have to surrender our mind, our will, our body to God, for allow Him to shape and to direct and tell us what it's all about. Because we inherently have in our flesh wanting to try to tell God what it's all about. He saved us and rescued us. We have to renew our mind. All of it. Any humanistic thinking is trash. I'm always working on mine. How about you? See, this is what God's talking about. This is what He's wanting us to get into. This is deep and rich and profound and transforming to a body of Christ. This is just good moral things. Do this and your home will be good. This is rich. This is stacked upon 11 chapters of the deepest theology God ever teaches in the Word of God. Then He says this. It's standing upon that. Standing upon all the understanding of the mercies of God that are through chapters 1 through 11. This isn't just some practical principles that the church is supposed to do. This is life, body life, Christianity, not 101, 401, the last class. Okay? All right, the depth of what God has for us. That's what He's talking about. We can't approach this with this, yeah, it's a good thing, God encouraged that kind of thing. This is the life that honors Christ as we live. And I'm confronted, if I don't live this life, my life doesn't honor Christ. And I don't want to think it does, because I want to live the way I want to live and have God accept my way of living. I want to live with what the Word of God says. And this is confronting. This is true. It's encouraging. So our usefulness in serving God depends on the attitude of humility. And it depends upon our acknowledging the unity, the oneness that we have in one body. Finally today, go ahead and turn your outline over. Our third observation from the text, our usefulness in serving God also depends on the proper service. Our usefulness also depends on the proper service. We are, as it says in our text, verses 6 through 8, we are to exercise our gifts. That's the proper service. We are to use our gifts, live out our gifts, walk in the grace gifts that God has given us to serve in His work. Proper service is to actually serve with the gifts God has given you. That's the proper service. It's not proper service to serve not in the gifts God has given you. It's not the proper service to just not serve, to let the gifts lie over here and let the ability God had given you over there. I'm too busy. I got other things. I got this. God has gifted me with these things, but I got all of this and all of that. And it's not proper service. Jesus said in Luke 4:8, the Word of God says, believers shall worship God. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. We looked at all of that. And serve Him only. To worship then is to serve God. They go hand in hand. One leads to another, but we want proper service. And to have proper service, you have to exercise or use or live out the gifts to serve God that He has given you by grace. I'll illustrate it to you this way, and I read this in one of the commentaries I was in, and they used this as an illustration. And what it was, this guy, he collected violins. He got the most incredible violins, and you guys know there's some incredible violins in the world, right? And so he collected 25 of them all over the world. Had the greatest violins, man. I can't even remember. Anybody know the name of them? You guys knew, right? Right. So he's got them all in his house. And he's got them all lined up on the wall, and they're all, nobody's playing them. How useful were the violins? For the one guy, he's like, oh, yeah, look, man, I got all the wonderful violins of the world. Look at them. But nobody plays them. How many gifts in the body of Christ has God given? Nobody plays them. They're no good stacked up in a room. They're worthless. Proper service uses the gifts God's given you. And they're precious violins in the eyes of God. And we're not supposed to just put them somewhere. Oh, look, we got a bunch. Right? Look at how beautiful we are. They're worthless if you don't play them, right? And this is what he's getting to. If we don't exercise the gifts that God has given us, then is it really proper service? I mean, and you think about what we just talked about and all that we did. And so he gave you, bestowed upon you by the power of God, his creative power, ability to serve the body of Christ, the church, salvation, sanctification. Now we're going to dig into what they are and that kind of stuff, and you're going to find out it's not that you just have this little sliver of a gift and so I'll just be part of that. You got a multicolored gift. Everybody does. He didn't leave anybody out. And so as we dig into this, I want you to look at verse 6 through 8. We're going to read this, and then we'll to dig into this and get, grab an understanding of what he's saying when he says this. Verse 6 through 8, he says this. Since we have gifts, excluding everybody, right, that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly, of prophecy according to the proportion of faith, in service, in his serving, or in teaching, in his teaching, or if he exhorts, in his exhortation, if he gives with liberality, if he leads with diligence, or he shows mercy with cheerfulness. Got that one right that time. Now, the Apostle Paul calls your gift, look at verse 6, he calls your gift grace gifts given. That's what it says in verse 6, beginning of it. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So the grace gifts given. It's the same thing as a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts, spiritual emphasizes empowered by the Holy Spirit. Grace gifts given and emphasized given by the grace of God. Same thing. There's no difference. Charisma in the Greek, it means a grace gift given. And they're only imparted by God. God imparts these. They are given by God. They are have God's definitive purpose on why he gave them. You just don't do whatever you want with them. Now, that makes sense, right? If God gave you a spiritual gift, special gift, we'll look at that later, grace gift given, all the same thing, empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God given to you, it'd have a definite purpose, wouldn't it? If he gave you a violin, it would be to play the violin, wouldn't it? You agree? Come on, you guys, you agree? Right? And then we say, oh, I'm not really sure what it is and all that. We're going to get into that. But if he gave it to you, right, by the grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit, special gift for you to use for God's kingdom, of building his church, now you got to understand, like what Brian was encouraging today, us, we have to lay aside every encumbrance, you know, every sin that entangles, right? And we have to run the race before us. You have to be determinative in the word of God. What is the race before us? God says it's building his church. That's the race we're all a part of. That's the body of Christ we're all a part of. That's what the kingdom that we belong to. That's the dispensation that we're in, what God is doing in the world, sanctification and salvation. That's the race. Okay, so you have to be definitive on why we're here and what we're doing and know God's purpose. And you have to agree with it in your heart and believe it that that's what the word of God says. But God has given you grace gifts imparted by him for you to serve his purpose in building his church. Like Romans 12:3, Paul said, through the grace given to me, I say to you not to think more highly than yourself than you ought. Okay, so he's saying, by the grace of God given to me, I can serve in my gift to speak forth God's truth to you. The word of God, we wrote it down. It's Romans 12:3. So the gift of God to the Apostle Paul was to speak forth God's word, even before it was written down, have it written down. He wrote him the letter and speak to him. Don't be prideful. Don't think highly, more highly of yourself. Thus saith the word of God. God gifted him to do that. Would you agree? It was a grace gift. Wouldn't you agree? Was it empowered by the Holy Spirit for him to do? He gave it to him, right? Same as you, same as me. That's what I want you to connect. The things that we have are the same way. They flow the same way. Ephesians 3:8, where the Apostle Paul says, this grace was given to me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That is a grace gift, a spiritual gift given to Paul by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to speak forth God's word about the gospel. That's the same as your gifts. Exactly the same as your gifts. Exactly the way this works. Empowered by the Holy Spirit for you to exercise them, the gifts given to you by God's grace. This is no different. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 1 with me. Let me just show you this in the Word of God. And so we're getting a grasp here about the gifts God has given us, that there doesn't need to be some special thing. It's about four or five pages to the right in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 1, we'll begin in verse 4. There's no special thing. There's no, you know, all of this extraordinary thing that has to happen. If God, by his grace, has given you gifts, spiritual gifts, He's given you the ability to exercise them. He's given you the ability to walk in them. This is just us living out what God is doing in our lives. That makes sense? You guys with me? Look at 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 4. The Apostle Paul says this, I thank my God, always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus. Now, whomever has this grace is given gifts. Look what it says. That in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know the Corinthian church, very prideful, very arrogant, very not committed to the Lord, very fleshly, very selfish, and so their gifts didn't come out. And then when they talked about gifts, they all wanted the special gifts, and they all chased after all of the sign gifts or the ones that everybody looked at, and he said, well, you got all those messed up. But the Word of God says this, right? That in the grace of God, which was given to them in Christ Jesus, that in everything they were enriched in him, in all speech and knowledge, and they're not lacking in any gift. Either are you. Either is the church family, the church body. Don't let the enemy try to deceive you from the truth of God's word, that somehow you got to do something special to get some sort of gift from God to serve his body of Christ, or you got to be something higher or better or whatever it is to serve the body of Christ, to serve God. Don't let... In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your salvation, God decided, immersed you in the body of Christ, gave you gifts to serve his church, his kingdom, his glory, and what he's doing in this world. That make sense? Isn't that helpful? It's kind of confronting, isn't it? Sometimes we're waiting around for years for God to show me my gift. He's saying, I gave it to you. I want you to just surrender to me, and I'll bring it forth. But we use that as an excuse, don't we? I don't really know what I can do. You're going to find out today you can do a lot. You're gifted to do a lot. You chose not to do. That's what it comes down to, folks, and that makes sense in the Word of God for me, that God wasn't limited in anything. God didn't fail in anything. God didn't in not good enough and those kind of things. It was my choice, wasn't it? Are you a believer in Christ? Raise your hand. Then you're gifted to serve God's church. Multicolorful. It's what you do with it is the deal, isn't it? Is God the problem? Come on, guys. Right? Is the circumstances of life the problem? Oh, if the world would just get better, I would be. The problem's me. And what I think about it and how I see it and what I use to excuse why I don't do what God would want me to do. Sounds like the Word of God to me. Sounds like my relationship with God. Moving on here. Your ability, my ability. Your gifts to serve, my gifts to serve. God gave by his choice. And they differ. They're diverse. They vary, right? Back to Romans 12. Look at this with me. Back to Romans 12. Look what he said. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, or given to us. The grace gifts, and they're given, and they differ. That's what he says, they differ. Differ means that they are diverse, they vary, they're not alike, they are shaped for you. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 says this, don't turn there, let me read it. The Apostle Paul says, now there are a variety of gifts. That's kind of different, right? We have a variety of gifts. But the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries. Well, there are a variety of gifts, and using your gift works in a variety of different ministries. Same Lord. There are a variety of effects. But the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there's a variety of gifts. They're diverse. They differ. It's the same Spirit working them out, empowering them, but in a variety of ministries, so they work out into a bunch of different ministries, and then the effects of the ministries. See, those are your gifts. And when he says the manifestation of the Spirit, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, that's the same thing as grace gifts, spiritual gifts, that God gave for our common good, the good of the one body. There's a variety of gifts to do the good of the one body. Verse 11 says this, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now, isn't that helpful? This isn't predicated or determined by me or you or us at all, is it? Is it? Right, this is what God's doing, right? The sovereign God over the world, right? And doing what he's doing and building his church. We live in the church age, dispensation. He's bringing people to salvation, putting them in the body of Christ, sanctification, growing us in our faith with him to look like Christ, be Christ-like in our life, right? This is what he's doing in the world. When he's done, right? Judgment comes, right? Right? Thousand-year reign of Christ after that, right? This is when we live. He's gifted us to be a part of it. So I want you to put this where it belongs in the Word of God. In your ability to serve, God gave it differed in different ways, varied in different ways. Now turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 4. Look at verse 11. And I'm just kind of trying to get us to capture all of the Word of God and connect this in our mind. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 4, verse 11. We're just going on here on the grace gifts given that they differ. 1 Peter 4, look at verse 11. You there with me? Here's what he says here. Look at this. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So here you go. You got two kind of gifts, two categories of gifts that are in the church now. They fall into these two categories, serving gifts, speaking gifts. If it's speaking, do it as one speaking with the utterance of God, what God's word says, what God's word means, and how it applies to your life. If it's serving, do it with the power of God, the power of Christ. Do it all to glorify God. All of us have some mixture of both, don't we? Come on, you guys, you have some mixture of both? Does Ephesians 4:15 tell the church to speak the truth in love to one another so we all grow up in aspects of Christ? Does it say that to just the people with speaking gifts, or does it say that to the body of Christ? So then you're gifted to speak the truth in love, aren't you? Are you not? Come on, acknowledge this. You got to acknowledge the Word of God and what it says. Now, all over, we can go to so many scriptures that God has given us all the ability to serve the body of Christ. Would you agree? We all got the ability to serve somewhere, right? Right? So we all have some sort of form of ability to serve, some form of ability to speak, because God says, don't let any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but what's such for edification? So when you speak edification to somebody, it's a speaking gift God given you as part of the Holy Spirit gift, empowered to do what God asks you to do, right? I want you to connect this. So everybody has some form of speaking and serving gift. Would you agree? Do I need to go through more scripture to prove it to you that God says that you do? Okay, we don't. Okay, good. Okay, we could be here till 2, 3 o'clock if you want to. We could go through that. Two categories. All of us have some. It's clear from Scripture. All of us have grace gifts given to do this. Look at verse 10, 1 Peter 4. As each one has received a special gift, same thing, spiritual gift, same thing, grace gift, manifestation of the Spirit, same thing. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whatever your special gift from God is, you are to employ it. You're to put it to work. That's your choice. And serving one another, serving God's church, right, for the salvation and sanctification of God's people. That's the purpose of serving. God's building his church. Can't get off of that. You can't let somebody tell you that something else. Somebody say the Word of God says it's about something else. It's not about us. It's not about what we're trying to build. It's about God building his church, and he's given us special gifts, and we serve one another and what God's doing in this life. And did you see what it says? As good stewards. Do you know what a stewardship is? You know what stewardship is? You guys know what stewardship is? Okay, God gave you something to manage for him. It's not even yours. Ashlyn, if I gave you $100, said I want you to go to Walmart and help somebody in Walmart today. You determine who you want to help, okay? But do it for the kingdom of God. She's a stewardship of my $100, isn't she? If she went and took the $100 and spent it on herself or used it for herself or didn't do what God wanted her to do with the $100, she's not a steward, is she? Same with your gifts. Exactly the same. You guys know that your children are a gift from God, right? You're a stewardship of them, right? You don't own them, he does. We know that, right? Your gifts that God gave you, you don't own them. You're not to hoard them. You're not to hide them. You're not to use them for your own self-glory or your own self-benefit or your own self-building. You're to use them to serve one another, to build the kingdom of God. Are you connecting where I'm going in the Word of God? How much is your humanity confronted now? Because mine was confronted all week. Oh my gosh. And all of these kind of things. That's what God is talking about. This is depth. This is deep truth in Romans 12. This is standing upon theology. This is not simple principles that we find in a way that so we can be encouraged to stewardship. God has given you something to be managed for Him. God has given you time, talent, treasure. It's not your own, it's His. You are to be a steward of what you've been given by God, right? Same here, right? Come on, church, right? It's not yours to hoard, to hide, to use for your own benefit. He gave it to you for His purpose. Anybody want to tell me what the purpose is? Glorify God. Give me some definitive things in that, because I could say glorifying God is me buying me a $500,000 house. God be glorified. In the unity of the body, right? Build His church. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's to build His church. Salvation, sanctification. That's all it is. It isn't anything else. Not about my happiness, my contentment, my peace, my comfort. It isn't. You give me any of the gifts for any of that. Maybe to encourage one another, all right, to serve one another so we listen. So the one body reflects the transformed life of Christ to His glory. That's what it is, the building of His church. It's your gift is to be used in the serving of one body, the body of Christ, to build God's church. I'm going to say it all the time because we are bombarded in our flesh. I'm bombarded with our Darth Vader, right, Brian? We're bombarded in this world that life is about something else. God says it's about this. Pull out your kid zone. You guys got your kid zone there? All right, this is why I gave you crayons, you guys, okay? Okay, now I got to move along. I'm already long in here and all that kind of stuff, but I can move along in this. Back to Romans 12 with me, if you'll turn there. But here, kids in your kid zone here, I listed the gifts Paul mentions in Romans 12. And as it says in 1 Peter 4, where did that go? Okay. As it says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay? That's what it says in 1 Peter. Your spiritual gift, right? Here they are in Romans 12, speaking forth God's word, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing mercy. Your spiritual gift, the grace given to you that you have received, is by the manifold grace of God. That means the diverse, the multicolored grace of God. The gift that each of us has, or we received, is diverse. It's multicolored grace. Your gift's a color palette of the grace of God. I want you to see it this way. Here's your life. And God gifted you with a color palette of His grace, and He painted it on your canvas of your life. That's what it looks like. It's not over here, over here. This is this gift of encouragement, and it's this deliver. It's encouragement. And then it's teaching, and then it's the gift of helps, and then it's of aid, and they intersect and they overlap, and it's a color palette, and it's beautiful. It's incredible. That's what I want you children to do today, the kids to do today. Give them 7 different colors, and as we go through this, right in there, like that. That's your gifts. That's what it looks like. It's not this little sliver, I got the gift of exhortation, and I got a little bit of... Exhortation overflows in teaching, and teaching overflows in showing mercy. And let's not get narrow-minded here. This is not how God wants us to understand it. Your gift's a color palette, and God painted it. You don't just have one or two. The gifts to serve are multicolored. They're a combination of God's grace gifts, and it's beautiful. Listen, all of you, in some form or manner, kids, have the gift of speaking forth God's word, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing mercy. I'll show it to you out of the word of God how each one of you has some form of that in a very simple way. See, we got to let God shape our mind. We got to offer it to God. We got to say, here it is, Lord, here's my life. I need you by your word of God to shape the way I think and how I think. Right? I got to surrender it. You got to renew it. All those that I read there, and that's not all of them. They're just generally a general array of colors. You are to be a stewardship of your gift. to have the proper service. So what's the proper service? Exercise them accordingly. Pretty simple, isn't it? But profound. So let's dig through the gifts here real quickly. I was just going to briefly mention them and a few verses with them. But here he is. He lays out these general gifts. And there are the red color, the palette color of God's grace as he painted them in your life for you to serve. He mentions the seven here. It's not an exhaustive list. They're general categories. Like I told you, the list doesn't match 1 Corinthians 12. It does include some other gifts and other verses. You know what it tells us? Let me help you with that. It tells us that God didn't give us an exact list. And there's a great diversity in God's gifting, too many combinations to list. And here's the thing, God doesn't want us to get lost in trying to figure out our gift. Because you know what that causes? You to not to serve. Because I never really know what it is. And God doesn't identify it. Aren't we humans just all like that, right? Instead of just saying, here I am, Lord, use me. We try to figure out what it would be, and then it's like, oh, what? It's not that. Well, it's not that. And God's going, how do you know what it is? I gave him to you, and I'm sovereign over it all. And I didn't tell you that you're going to go figure it out in the Word of God what it is. It's in him you're going to find out what it is, isn't it? It's out of your relationship with him, your trust in him, belief in him, following him. Let's look at them briefly. Number one, first 6a, it says this, or 6b, if it's prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. Now, let me just tell you what this says quickly. The gift of prophecy means to speak forth. Prophetera in the Greek, basic meaning is to speak forth. If it's a gift that's prevalent and continuous in the church back then and now, it's a gift always being exercised. It's a speaking gift is what he's talking about. Basic meaning to speak forth the word of God. Yes, when the prophets were around, they foretold of the future events of God. When the prophets were around, they foretold what God said before it was going to be written. Let me just cut it chase. Doesn't go on now. Doesn't happen. That's not what he's talking about. These are general gifts that the church is going to have all the time, that kind of thing. Nobody is gifted by God to do that now, to foretell future events or tell you what the Word of God says outside of the Word of God. Doesn't happen. There's no gift of God to do that working in this world anymore. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says the speaking gift is to be used for the edification and exhortation of the church. So they believe and trust in the Word of God. Now, what do we use to edify and exhort the church? You guys tell me. The Word of God, right? Not some future event that might happen, or let me tell you, I have a revelation of God that's not in the Word of God. That's wrong. Then it's so sad and so heartbreaking that some places in the evangelical church that they interpret that to mean that, that's just pride. That's not an attitude of humility. God isn't doing that. He gave us his word. We're exhorted and encouraged by the word of God, are we not? Bottom line, that's how God does it, right? Some people are gifted to speak forth the word of God, right? To interpret it, to understand it. I am. I'm not by my choice, not by that, no prideful thing, but that's what God does, right? It's just the gift of God to be used by, like Jeremiah, when he would say, thus saith the Lord. It's serious. John Calvin, in his commentary on this text, said, in the context of this, that the Apostle Paul is listing the ordinary gifts that are to continue perpetually in the church, this gift of speaking forth the word of God is nothing else than the right understanding and the right interpretation of Scripture being preached for the edification of the church. Surely God's gift of grace given is needed in this area of the church. That's it. That's all that is. It isn't anything more than that. For all of us know, for us to understand that the salvation and sanctification of God's church, it's totally clear from the Word of God, turns on the truth being spoken, not some future event being prophesied or some revelation of God that's somewhere else that only certain people have. You guys agree? Pretty simple. That's all that means. Look at 7a. Here's the next gift. In his serving. Now, I just really like how this one, if your gift is to serve, exercise it in serving, right? Pretty simple. So, first one's a speaking gift. The second one is a serving gift. These are general categories. Speaking forth the word of God, speaking gift, serving. That's a serving gift, right? pretty simple. There's no in the depth anything meaning in the word serving in the regular language. Let me ask you, in the church family, who hasn't been given a grace gift to serve? Would they raise their hand, please? I haven't been given a gift to serve. God didn't spiritually gift me. I'm not empowered by the Holy Spirit. I haven't been given a grace gift, no special gift in me for me to serve in the church. I got none. Zippo. Who's going to? Doesn't exist, does it? It came in your salvation. We all are gifted to serve. Some more, some less, some in different areas, right? Jesus, John 12, 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. To serve Christ is to follow him. And where is the Lord Jesus serving? He's serving his church in every way, right? He's serving his church through you. 1 Peter 4:11, right? Whoever serves, serves in the strength that God supplies, the Lord Jesus Christ, right, to be glorified. Look at verse 7 again. Let me just move through these quickly. And it's he who teaches and is teaching. Teaching's a gift, so teach. Listen, God has gifted his church with grace gifts, so teaching goes on. Whether it's children, Psalm 34, some people teach the children, or transgressors the way of God, Psalm 51, or believers to observe all that the Lord has commanded them, Matthew 28, or the church family to be Christ-like, Colossians 1:28. God has provided the church those gifted teachers to teach, whether it's kids, whether it's the way of the Lord, whether to observe all that God has taught, said, or for us to be Christ-like. Would you agree? It's not that people aren't gifted to teach. It's whether they do what they're gifted to do. Bottom line, right? We don't lack enough teachers in this church. We have teachers uncommitted to God. That's the answer. It's not God's waiting for somebody to be gifted. You're gifted. Your faith to follow God, your faith to serve God, your ability, your availability, you to be here and to be used by God is the issue. It's not God's gifting. Period. There's no lack here. Where we lack is because people are uncommitted. That's what it is. That's what he's getting to. All these gifts. Look at the next one, verse 8. And he who exhorts in his exhortation. This is a big word. You can't define that. The grace gift to exhort means to help, to comfort, to aid, to encourage, to call someone to respond, even to admonish in loving correction. It means all of that. Let me ask you, who doesn't at times in their life need encouragement? Who doesn't? Everybody needs encouragement. Who doesn't at times in their life need someone to come alongside and listen to them and comfort them and aid them and help them and console them and correct them and help them respond to God? All of us at all times. Guess what? You're gifted to do that. You may not want to do it. You may not make it uncomfortable. But as God gifted the church family to do this, meaning specifically you, whoever that might be today, you. Specifically you. Maybe not all the time, not a lot of the time, but he will ask you to exercise this. You are going to be exhortation to somebody. He's going to ask you to encourage them, to help them, to console them. Because they're part of your body. I don't get this. They're going to be hurting. You need to put a Band-Aid on that. They're going to need some correction. You might have to have a cast. You're part of the body. Why wouldn't he give you the ability to put a Band-Aid over here? Or to hold this leg and get some ice on it because it's hurting? Because he doesn't want you to? It just comes down to that we're available, isn't it? We got the whole world going on. We got everything that we have in our life. We got all this going on. And then it's like, okay, then we are. And God says, but I gifted you. Incredibly. Palette. Multicolored. That's what he's speaking to us in our lives. This is a church. The church age we live in was decided and created by God to do something God had. It isn't about us at all. It's about what he's doing in the world. Before Christ came was about him. When Christ came was about him. After he left, now, when he returns, it's about him. Move along pretty quickly here. Number 8, he who gives with liberality, right? That's really not about money. It's about sharing or imparting or giving with liberality. It means to, with sincerity or simplicity, from a pure motive. You're gifted to share or impart from your time, talent, and treasure for the good of others, for the good of the whole. And you do this in sincerity because it's of God. That's the idea. Again, all of us have some of this. Verse 8 again says, leadership, he who leads with diligence, means with faithfulness. 1 Peter 5 says, leaders lead, proving to be examples to the church. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 says, leaders inspire others to love and to serve. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 says, leaders labor for other people's faith. Leads, this word in the Greek means to stand before, faithful, to inspire, to be an example in the direction that God is going. That's leadership. Who's not gifted to say, you know what, this is the way God wants us to go, I can lead in this area. God wants us loving the kids in Awana Club. He wants us to encourage them to memorize verses. He wants us to listen to them and be available to them for the things that they are challenged in their life, so we can encourage them to trust in the Lord and take things to their parents and be communicative and all those kinds. Who's not gifted to do that? It's either you want to or not. It's just a want to, isn't it? I'm just kind of getting to the crux. It's just about our heart, isn't it? Because if you say, oh, well, God's not gifted me to work with kids. You're a human. He gifted you to love kids by being a human. Right? Supernaturally, right? Because in your new life in Christ, you love them beyond your humanity. This is what we're getting to. This is what he's talking about. The last one, showing mercy with cheerfulness. I guess you could show mercy with being a bummed out. To show mercy is to show compassion, empathy, to help for the consequences, help somebody with the consequences of sin. That's what mercy is. There's some consequences of sin. People in their life do some things I have. And there's consequences of sin. And to show mercy is empathy and say, God has the road for you to walk from here on out. And then there's the consequences of other people's sin that fall on people. And it's to show mercy. Yeah, this life isn't about God determining that it's fair. This is about God, what he's doing in this life for his glory. And man, I have empathy for what you went through and how hard things are. But there's the promises of God that we can trust upon. And there's the truths that we can walk in. And he is bigger than all of this. Let's find him in it all. Now as we close, to be useful to God and serving God, we want the proper service of exercising our gifts. If you don't exercise them, you're not useful. I couldn't find any way where I could say that somehow you are. But how do you know what your gifts are? How do you know? I don't see anywhere in Scripture it says study all of the word passages, you know, and God will figure out and help you study all the gifts and how they are and try to identify. I don't see anywhere in Scripture it says that. It doesn't say study the gifts and then you'll figure them. I can't find it in the Word of God. What I find in the Word of God is Romans 1 and 2. Offer your life as a living sacrifice, mind, will, and body. Surrender it to God. Give it to him. That's what I find in the Word of God. And then those gifts, that color palette, will come out of your life. That's what I get. I want you to finish with this. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 37. Interesting, we studied this in Sunday school today, and Tom said, well, I wasn't going to do this one, but then something on my heart said I was going to do this one, so I did this one, Psalm 37, and then I was going to close with it today, and we'll close with this. We just want to dig a little deeper here. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 6. Look at it with me. Here the psalmist writes, David writes. He says this, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, isn't it? I'm just going to trust in him. I'm going to surrender to him. I'm going to be available to him, and I'm going to do good. What's it to do good? Opposite of doing bad? Doing genuine? I'm just going to try to do what God wants me to do. Isn't that what that is? I'm just going to trust in the Lord in the midst of all of the church, seeing what God's had me a part of, hear him. I'm just going to do good. Dwell in the land. Back then, the land was the promised land. The land here, you can just circle it in there. Church. That's what it is. Dwell in the body of Christ that you belong to. Cultivate. That means turn up the soil. Cultivate. Turn it over. Faithfulness to the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about now. turn that dirt over. Don't let it get hard pan. It's got to get water in there. It's got to get nourishment in there. Cultivate your life by being faithful to what God's called you to do. Trust in him. Do good. Be available. Delight yourself in the Lord, verse 4. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that's not he's going to give you. He's going to, your desires of your heart, he's going to give you. That means he's going to plant his desires on your heart. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, God wants me serving in the youth ministry. Because this right here, God wants me to be an usher. I'm just giving my life to the Lord. I'm just surrendered to him. I'm delighting in him. I'm trusting in him. I'm trying to do good. God just put it right here. You know, I'm going to be an usher. I don't know if I know how to be an usher. I don't know if I have any gifts to be an usher. But you know what? It's right in here. And I'm going to follow God. And God's going to place it on my heart. And pretty soon you're going to be serving in the nursery. Oh, man, that's a desired heart, right? God had to place that one in some of us in the sense of, you know, you got six or eight of them over there, all right? One, okay, I love them, but six or eight at one time, okay, right? That's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about you doing good, you trusting in the Lord, you delighting in him. God's going to put the things in your heart. Look at what it says. Trust, commit your way to him. Verse 5, trust also in him, and he will do it. Come on, folks. It was him already, the one that has to do it. All we have to do is surrender. All we have to do is be available. All we have to do is commit. All we have to do is just do what God wants us to do. I just offer my mind, body, and will to you today, Lord. Here it is. Shape it, direct it, guide it, lead it. I know you gifted me. You'll bring him forth. You'll bring him out. Look at verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Listen, the gifts you have, the righteousness as light, the light of Christ, the testimony of Christ, he's going to bring it forth like he raises the sun today at noon. You think he has any problem with that? You think God has any problem getting the sun up here at noon? Got no problem revealing the light in you of Christ's righteousness and the gifts that he has for you to do and for you to be a part of the body of Christ. Got no problem. What's the problem? Me. It's always been the issue. God's not the issue. We're the issue. This word of God is preaching to our hearts and minds on what God's response is to be. We went a little over today, but I want to close with a pastoral prayer. Before we have our time together in our potluck, and what a wonderful time that's going to be. But would you bow your head with me as we go before the Lord together? Lord, we recognize that those in our community need the tangible evidence of a transformed life in Christ. And what you have done is you said that is us. The mass majority of those around us need to see the truth of Christ lived out so that our message of the gospel of salvation in Christ alone has a life behind it. It's not hypocritical. It's truth. Our lives by you have been committed to that task. And we have been gifted to that task. The fruit of it is from you. The life of Christ's salvation lived out is our choice. It's our response to you in worship. That's so clear from Scripture. Lord, we ask you to mature, to grow, to shape, to instruct, to guide us in your way for us. We'd ask that repentance or turning in direction or changing our minds be the way of us. We would ask, Lord, that we would be a people that show mercy and lead and exhort and teach and encourage and give and serve and speak forth the word of God with your strength among us and those that you bring our way. Lord, we ask you to use us in your divine work. Help us to be useful to you in that. We thank you for the privilege it is to be use our gifts for your glory. One thing we celebrate today is Richard and Christine. We thank you for their example. They're not perfect examples. Neither one of them are Jesus. We know that. But Lord, they've been an example to us. Look what it looks like for you to use the gifts you've given them for your glory. We're going to miss them tremendously as they go to Montana, but Lord, we pray that you'd have the place for their gifts to be used and that you would bless them and that church with them. Lord, may our time together in our Harvest Potluck encourage us all to be thankful for the body of Christ and how it serves. May our hearts be filled with all that you provide, and a heart of gratitude for all that you provide, for the food prepared today, for the life that we have in Christ, and the gifts that you've given us to serve, and for the friendship of this church family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed for our potluck today. Look forward to seeing you guys over there.